This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa Omer, Kol Sheyiras Cheto Kodemes Lechachmaso, Chachmaso Miskayemes. Whoever's fear of sin precedes his wisdom, so his wisdom will be preserved. Last week we explained the Abarbanel's commentary to this Mishnah, what the connection is between the Mishnayos before. I'm not going to go over that again. There's a recording if you want to listen to it again. Okay, now I want to go to some other interpretations, other commentaries of this Mishnah. And we're only going to cover that first phrase. We're not going to go past that. There's plenty just on the first page. What does it mean? A person's fear of sin precedes his wisdom. Okay, so the Ruach Chaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, says that his purpose in learning is to seek ways to face the challenges in life in order that he shouldn't sin. So the fear of sin precedes the reason, it's the cause of his learning. He wants to learn in order to be able to live properly in this world. That's what it means. His yiras chet precedes his wisdom, meaning it is the source or the cause of his wisdom. And also another thing, since he has yiras chet, that's to prevent future sins. But there's also an idea of atoning for sins that already exist. And one of the ways to atone for sins is through learning Torah. It says that Torah learning is even more effective than sacrifices. So his fear of sin is double. I want to learn, so I will learn how to avoid sinning. And I want to learn in order that the sins that I've committed, along with my repentance, should have the atonement of Torah learning. So that is one idea. And if the, if that is his intention in learning Torah, then his Torah learning will be preserved. He'll reach the purpose why he's learning, and he'll continue learning because he has a very, very good incentive. And he's learning for the sake of heaven to be able to observe the Torah properly. But if he learns Shelo Lishma in order to get covered or other extraneous reasons, then his Torah will not be preserved. That is the Ruach Chaim. I just want to mention a side point. Here a person is learning in order to know how to face the challenges in life and avoid sin. Okay? Which has connection to the following. The Shurei Das from the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva explains what Chazal say, that tzaddikim omrim ma'at va'osim harbeh. The nature of a tzaddik is to say little and do a lot. Whereas Rishoyim omrim harbeh, Rishoyim say a lot, and even a little they don't do. So he explains this is not because wicked people are liars. It's not politicians that promise you the world until they're elected, right? And then they accomplish nothing. We're talking about people who really want to do. These wicked people want to do for you. They want to fulfill what they promise. But since they don't consider the fact that they have limitations, and they never consider the Yetzer Hara, which could prevent them from doing the good things they want to do. So as soon as the first little challenge comes, they're vanquished because they didn't prepare for it. They didn't anticipate it. Whereas tzaddikim know that they're limited. They know they have a Yetzer Hara, right? And therefore, they're afraid to promise you a lot because they know that things could trip them up. But because they anticipate the problem, they're able to overcome it. If you don't anticipate problems, then the smallest problem's going to throw you off. If you anticipate them and you try to find ways of dealing with them, then you'll be able to overcome them. He says that's the meaning, and therefore the tzaddik doesn't promise you a lot, because he knows that he could be tripped up. But because he anticipates that, he's able to accomplish and achieve a lot and deliver a lot. He says that's the meaning of the following Gemara. The Gemara says in the future, God's going to take the Yetzer Hara and shecht it, meaning bring it to its purpose, in front of the tzaddikim, in front of the Rishoyim. To the tzaddikim, the Yetzer Hara is going to appear like a big mountain, and they're going to be crying, how do we conquer this mountain? And to the Rishoyim, the Yetzer Hara is going to be like a hare, and they're going to be crying too, how did we not conquer that hare? So he says, by the tzaddikim, they anticipated the Yetzer Hara, and therefore they were able to overcome this problem, and the next one, until it accumulated to be a big mountain. And they were able to go one challenge and overcome it, and another one, until they accumulated a big mountain that they overcame. Whereas the wicked people, they never anticipate any problems. We can do anything. The first little problem, the hare's breath, came. They tripped them up, and they didn't go further. They never got further past that hare's breath. Whereas the tzaddikim went from one challenge to another until it accumulated to a tremendous mountain. So I think that's what Reb Chaim Volozhiner is also saying. He's saying that somebody who learns anticipates that there are problems and is looking for ways to overcome them, to face the challenges of life, his wisdom is going to be preserved. He's going to accomplish something with that. So that's an incentive to learn. An incentive to learn to be able to know how to deal with your shortcomings and how to overcome them. Okay. I always say that's what the Gemara means, that's what Chazal say on the following, that it says that when Shemitah comes, so sometimes Shemitah and Yovel come together, you have 3 years that you can't plow and harvest and plant. So it says, if somebody says, well, what am I going to eat after Shemitah? I wasn't able to plant, I wasn't able to plow, I wasn't able to harvest. What are we going to eat? So God said, I'll give a bracha in the sixth year, and I'll have enough food prepared in the sixth year for 3 years. So you won't have a problem. So everybody asks the following question. That's if you ask. What if you don't ask any questions? You have perfect faith, right? You don't ask any questions. So they're all different answers. Some say you'll get a bigger bracha, because if you don't ask any questions, you won't have 3 years crop in the sixth year. You'll have a regular crop, but it'll last for 3 years. That's a bigger bracha, because you don't have to work so hard. 3 years crop, you have to work three times as hard. There's other reasons why that. Somebody once gave me the idea that if you don't ask, you don't get any bracha. Why? Because only somebody who asks the question knows there's a problem. And he says, you know what? I know there's a problem. What am I going to eat for 3 years? But I have faith in God that it's going to work out. Then you get a bracha. But if you don't anticipate the problem, then you're not a trustering God. You're just an idiot. You don't even know there's a problem. Right? You have to trust in God if you know there's a problem and you overcome it. But if you don't realize there's any problem, I'm an idiot. People come to me, students of mine, they want to know if they're ready to get married. So I say to them, you know, you get married, you're going to have to support a family, right? How are you going to do that? So if they tell me, no problem, God will provide or whatever, I tell them, you're not ready to get married. If they tell me, I understand that, right? And I'm going to make my hishtadlis, my wife perhaps will be able to work. Even though I'm learning, I'm going to be able to go do odd jobs or whatever, tutor. If I'm not learning, I'm going to go and get a profession, right? And during that time also, I'll be able to work part-time or whatever. Then I know the person took in consideration as a problem, and he knows he's going to have to deal with it. And he has emun and bitachon that God will help him. He's ready. But somebody tells me there's no problem, right? He's not a big believer in God. He's just an idiot. He doesn't know that there's problems in life. So in any case, I think that's what Reb Chaim Volozhiner is saying, that the motivation for learning here is to avoid sin, to learn how to deal with challenges in life so you don't sin, and if you've sinned already, to be an atonement through the learning. Okay. The Tosfos Yontif says that that he's afraid of the sin of forgetting his Torah. It's a continuation from the Mishnah before. The Mishnah before said that somebody who forgets his Torah is liable with his life. So now it's saying whoever is afraid of that, forgetting his Torah, before he begins to learn, so he's going to learn in such a way that he'll make sure that he reviews it, that he concentrates on it, that he won't forget it. But somebody who's not afraid of forgetting is not going to learn it in a way that he won't forget. So he'll end up forgetting. Okay. The Likutei MS, I think that's the name of the Sefer, he says a person, what's it called, who's Yorechet means he knows how lowly he is and how much prone to sin he is as a human being. He recognizes his lowliness. That kind of person, when he learns Torah, is going to be impressed with the greatness of God, which is the ultimate purpose of learning. Yodei Shemecha, to know God. So if you already recognize how limited you are, then you can recognize the greatness of God. But if you don't realize how limited you are, then you won't really recognize from your learning how great God is, because you're not going to realize the tremendous chasm between you and him. I always like to explain, we learn from a pasuk, V'nishmartem mi'od l'nafshoseichem, be very careful with your life. And the rabbis learn from there that a person has to be careful with his health. Okay, you can't do things that are unhealthy. You have to, what's it called, be very careful with your health. But if you look at the sentence, that's totally out of the context what the sentence is talking about. What does the sentence say? V'nishnartem mi'od l'nafshoseichem, guard your life. Ki lo ra'isem kol tmuna, you didn't see any form when God spoke to you at Har Sinai. So it's talking about not believing that God is a corporeal being. Right? God is totally spiritual, nothing that we understand. He's not something made of the same stuff that we are. But it's a warning, guard your life because you don't, and don't think that God is a physical being, because you didn't see any form when. So why do the rabbis take that completely out of context? Separate that first part, v'nishmartem mi'od l'nafshoseichem, guard your health. Right? It really doesn't fit into the simple meaning of the sentence. So I think it does tremendously. Because if a person recognizes that he is a flesh and blood human being, and because of that he's very vulnerable to a lot of damage that can occur if he doesn't watch his health. Right? If he doesn't stay away from drafts, he'll get a cold, may get pneumonia, right? If he overeats, he eats things that aren't healthy, he smokes, all different kinds of things. So if he is aware of that, then he couldn't possibly think that God is a physical being, because he knows that being a physical being is very vulnerable. And God couldn't be so vulnerable. But if he ignores his health, doesn't realize he has any problem, he feels he's invincible. Even though he's a physical being, he ignores any vulnerability. So he doesn't take care of his health because he thinks he's invincible. Then why shouldn't he think that God could be a physical being too? If physical beings could be invincible, so God could be a physical being too. But if I realize that physical beings are very vulnerable, I could never come to think that God is a physical being. Same idea of recognizing your own vulnerability, and then you can realize how God is not like you. If you don't realize your own vulnerability, you think you're a little God. So God's a bigger God, no big deal. You can't really appreciate God if you don't appreciate how lowly you are in comparison. And the purpose of learning, according to this, is to know God and to appreciate him. So if you understand your limitations, and you're afraid of sin because you're a a flesh and blood being who is very possible to sin, then when you learn, you'll be able to appreciate God's greatness. The Gemara in Yuma says, any Talmud Chacham who doesn't have Yirah Shamayim, so the Torah becomes a poison for him. Now, we have another Chazal that says that if you learn Torah Shelo Lishma, Mito Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma. If you learn Torah for COVID, I want to learn Torah so people respect me, or because I'll make money on it, right? So then we say that even though you're learning the Torah for an ulterior motive, but eventually, if better to learn, eventually you'll do it for altruistically. Mito shelo lishma bo lishma. So here it says that it's good to learn Torah even not for the sake of heaven, for side reasons, because eventually you'll learn it for the sake of heaven. And here it says that a person who learns Torah shelo lishma, right, becomes a poison to him. You're not going to come to. So there's two different answers to that. Tosfos says, if you learn Torah for ulterior motives, for your own covet, so then at least you're learning Torah, right? And someday you'll realize that the Torah learning itself is more valuable than the covet you get or the money you get or whatever. But when it says that the Torah is something that it's better not to learn like that, and it's better you weren't created, or like it says over here, it becomes a poison, is where you're learning to hurt other people, to show them up, right? There are people like that, that love to, they don't care about learning for themselves. They just want to have enough knowledge to show other people up and to make them look bad. Somebody who does that, he's learning, and it's his learning not for the sake of heaven, is such a negative thing to hurt other people. There it's a poison. There it's better you shouldn't learn altogether. That's one answer. Another answer I heard from my Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Gifter, it says that the Levium, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to convince them to accept the tremendous responsibility of being a Levi. A Levi is a minister, serves the Rebbe Shel Olam. He watches the Beis HaMikdash, and he sings, and he helps the Kohanim. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to convince them that, you know, to accept this responsibility. So what did he tell them? Ashreichem shenismanu shamoshim lamakom. You are fortunate that you are God's servants, God's ministers. So Rav Gifter said, I don't know, if I want to convince a Levi, right, to accept the responsibility, I have better ways of convincing him. Tell him you get free food. You get Maaser. You know, the Jewish people are going to give you free food. Right? There's a lot of what are they called? Perks. Thank you. That's it. Couldn't think of it. There are a lot of perks to this job. And by the way, you also got to be a minister. You got to be a servant. But there's a lot of perks to the job. You get covered, you're a Levi, you get the second Aliyah, right? And you get Maaser, you get free food. So Gifter said, no, a person who's a Levi, in order to get free food, he thinks that's what it means to be a Levi, is totally distorting the purpose of Levius, and that's no good. He said it on the following. This was way back in the 60s. There was a group, won't mention the name of the group, there was a group that, in Cleveland at the time, were trying to get people to come to Torah classes. Who wants to come to a Torah class, right? Put up a sign, come to a Torah class, right? So only special people want to come to learn Torah, right? The run-of-the-mill person has better things to do with his time than come to a Torah class. So they put up signs, come and learn what's it called? Mysticism. Now that's already something. You don't want to learn mysticism. Maybe you can, you know, levitate people or speak to ghosts or whatever. That interested people. They were teaching them Torah, right? Whatever. But they clothed it in mysticism. So you would think, okay, it's a ploy to get people to learn Torah. And Mito Shelo Lishma, they're coming to learn mysticism. They'll learn Torah. The Rosh Yeshiva said, no. If you distort the Torah, Torah is not mysticism. It may have mystic ideas to it too, but it's Torah. So you can learn Torah for ulterior motives. But if you totally misrepresent the Torah as something else, you don't say mitosh lo lishma, bo lishma. You don't say that those people are going to come and learn Torah, and eventually the Torah will have... No, they're coming and distorting the Torah completely. That's not proper. You can't distort something completely, and that's called shalom lishma. It's not called shalom lishma. It's total distortion. So, Memela, the same thing over here. Even though it says that learning Torah, not l'shem shamayim, is a positive thing, because you'll come. That's only where... you don't distort it, and that's only where you don't learn it to hurt other people. And there's one more condition. A person who learns Torah, and he says, look, I know I'm learning for ulterior motives. I want to get covet. I want to get money. But I know that ultimately it's better to learn altruistically for the sake of heaven. But I'm not holding by that. Maybe someday, yes. So he has the understanding of where he would like to be under the ideal circumstances, and this is a stepping stone. But a person who has no desire ever to learn Torah for a good purpose, this is what his Torah is, nothing more. He has no even understanding that there's something greater. So he's never going to reach that. This is only if it's a step along the way and you understand that. Then this step can lead you to other steps. But if you think this is the goal, you don't understand it's a step along the way, then it'll never reach you to anything else. So those are three conditions, and that's what the Gemara says. A person, and that's what the Mishnah says here, whoever's fear of heaven precedes his learning, meaning he's learning for the sake of heaven, then his learning will be preserved. He's learning l'shem shamayim. A person who doesn't, his learning won't be preserved. But it's better than nothing because mitosh shelo lishma bo lishma. But the Gemara that says it's somebody who doesn't have yiras shamayim, that his Torah becomes poison, means one of those three things. He's not interested in ever learning lishma. He's totally misrepresenting and distorting the Torah into something it's not. Or he is hurting other people. Because of his learning is to hurt other people, not just to get covered or something like that. Okay. Next. In the Maseches Atzilus, it says that God imparts secrets to those people who fear him. Okay. Meaning the following. When a person learns Torah, so there's a certain limit to what a person's intellect can discover in Torah. Torah is beyond a person's gray cells in his brain. It's God's mind. It's something that's very difficult to fathom, especially to come to the right conclusions of what the halacha is. That's why the Gemara says, in order to be a Baal Halacha, right, to really come and know what the final decision is in learning Torah, to know it so well, you have to be a Yiras Shamayim. For that, you need Yiras Shamayim. And we can see the poskim, the ones who are the ones who teach us halacha, right? Rav Eliyashiv, Rav Vadi Yosef, all the great poskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, from people, Rav Moshe Feinstein, they all were exemplary Yirei Shamayim, and they were Zohar. There are plenty of people who are smart and know a lot of Torah, but they're not the people who teach Torah in a way that they've reached a level that they're the ones that people rely on, because they don't have that level of Yirei Shamayim. So they're not blessed with an understanding that beyond their own capabilities. Then God gives them an understanding that's beyond them. So that's Sod Hashem Li'Yireyot. According to that, there's another meaning of this Mishnah. Someone who has Yiras Chet, he has tremendous fear of heaven, then his learning will be preserved, meaning he'll reach the final level of being able to really understand it and to come to the conclusion of what is right and what's wrong, and therefore teach other people what's right and what's wrong. But somebody who's Yiras Chet does not precede that. So that's not the main thing by him. He's not a big Yirei Shamayim. Right? He's learning for the sake, even the sake of heaven. But he's never going to be blessed with the understanding that's beyond what's humanly capable. So he's never going to really be one of these big poskim. Not going to reach that level. His learning is not going to be preserved to the level of being on the highest level of learning. I think that's another idea here. The Chelek Yaakov says an interesting thing, and this is relevant to today's society too. He says, "Kol sheyiras cheto, kol demes lechachmaso." Here he says, the chachma means secular wisdom, and yiras cheto means Torah wisdom, Torah learning. He says, somebody who teaches his child Torah before he teaches him secular wisdom, so then the secular wisdom will be preserved and be an aid to him. But somebody who puts the secular wisdom before the Torah, right, that's the main thing by him, and the person doesn't have the ability to deal with it properly. He has all the secular wisdom, which could influence him in a secular way, and he doesn't have a grounding in Torah, that wisdom, the secular wisdom, is not going to be preserved because it's going to take him off the path. More than that, it's not just in time. First learn Torah, and then you can learn secular wisdom. That is also true, right? Here in Eretz Yisrael, right, they have, again, there are pluses and minuses. But a person who gets a well-grounded foundation in Torah learning, okay, before he starts learning secular studies, right, so his mind is concentrated totally on Torah, goes through elementary school, maybe high school even, and then, what's it called, he wants to go get a profession or whatever and goes and gets the knowledge that he needs for a secular profession. And there are professions like that, that you can go after high school and get the profession. That kind of person has a tremendous foundation in Torah, if he learned properly. And then he can live a life where he's not learning all the time. He's in a profession, but his profession is grounded on a Torah life. On the other hand, somebody who never really got grounded in Torah, right? In America, for sure, in many places, okay, they spend so much time and put so much emphasis on the secular studies in elementary school, for sure, and then in high school also. And the religious studies take a back seat to the secular studies in many what they call modern institutions, modern Orthodox institutions. The Torah studies are light. Mix water with
they water down.
In many places, they don't learn too much Gemara, a little bit. But they really put emphasis on the secular studies because these guys are going to college and getting professions or whatever. But they never got a real grounding in Torah. Then when they're out in the secular world, they don't know how to ground that in Torah. And many times, the secular allurements pull them away either completely or partially from a Torah life. They never really, really are grounded. And when they get married, and their homes are not real Torah homes. Okay, there are for sure exceptions. On the other side also, there's people who've got a great grounding in Torah, and as soon as they go out into the secular world, they're finished.
My grounding in Torah, and they used to bring in Rabbanim to teach us the secular studies, an introduction. I remember before we started biology, they brought in Rabbi Lyman.
Yeah.
I went to High Life Elementary, and then I went to for high school.
Okay. But it's different for girls and boys.
Yeah, I was just going to also. But I found that what ever I learned in the secular world was only reinforced by what I had learned.
Okay, again, by girls is different than boys. By boys, the main grounding is sitting and learning Gemara or whatever. And in many of these institutions, they water it down. They don't spend a lot of time. They do it in a very surface way.
And the girls' education is better grounded than the boys'?
In some ways, yeah. Because girls' education is more geared to lemaisa, halacha, hashkafa, or whatever. And girls get a good foundation, even in these schools, because they get a lot of... But the boys' education...
An example that happened, I remember my reaction in Bio 101 in Brooklyn College. They said something, and I raised my hand. I said, oh my gosh, the Rambam says that in the first pasuk in Parshas Tazria. We learned that already.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Like, I found so much...
Yeah. But girls, because girls, the main education by girls is halacha, hashkafa, and even in these schools, they spend time on that. But in schools by boys, where the main emphasis is Gemara learning, and should be, right, but in a proper way, and they do it only surface-wise, and they learn... very little halacha and very little hashkafa. That's why it's a big problem with yeshiva boys get married. The girls know a lot more than them in Hilchos Shabbos and hashkafa, and it's a problem. The girls don't have somebody to look up to, because in what they understand the Gemara, they understand halacha, hashkafa. My husband is an Amoritz when it comes to halacha and hashkafa. So it's a problem. In any case, but that's not worth discussing. That's a different problem. But in any case, so... how do we get on this? Oh, yeah. So if a person, his main thing is my child going to be a Ben Torah, a Bas Torah? And therefore, I want to make sure that they're well-grounded in Yiddishkeit. And then I also want them to have a Parnassah. But my main thing is I want them to be Frum Jews who have a Parnassah, not Jews who have a Parnassah who happen to be Frum also. Right, it depends what's the horse and what's the cart. What's the main thing? So that's what it says over here. Whoever your yiras chet, your religious studies, precede your secular, not in time chronologically, but in importance, then the chachma, the secular studies, will be preserved. But somebody who the main thing is, I want my kid to be a doctor, but he should be a frum doctor. Not I want my kid to be frum, and he could also be a doctor. Very big difference. Then the kid who's a doctor may not be all that frum. But if the main thing is frum, then my son will be frum, and he'll also be a good doctor. In any case, that is one of the meanings over here.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.